Well, we're ready to get started again. I hope everybody got your legs stretched and blood circulating in the old brain and things like that. And, you know, sitting down and relaxing. It's good to be able to get together and talk and you know, just have a good time with the friends. It's always good. Catching up is wonderful. Brother Jim Moss is going to select it as his discourse, The Solution. So that should be very interesting. Song number 32 is going to be the opening song, and then Brother Ewan will open in prayer for Brother Jim. Song number 32. The prospect.
Precious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow our hearts, our heads, our minds before you. We ask to be with us, this time to bless our hearts, our minds, to help us that we can open to them. We ask to bless Brother Jim as he is speaking unto us so we can receive a blessing from this, so we can understand new things, so we can understand more what's your will and what we need to do to follow more the example that you gave for us, our Lord Jesus, for what we thank you so much. We ask to be with us these days as we are here to help us in our lives to be faithful to you. We ask to be with all those that love you and serve you. We ask everything in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Brother Jim Moss and the solution.
Hello, brethren. It's wonderful to be in your midst and together with you. I think this is my first Houston convention, so I couldn't wait to get here. We'd like to remember you to the brethren in Colorado and Wyoming area. Believe it or not, our ecclesia is growing. It's one of those rare things. People have been joining the class by phone or by we had a couple that moved into the area and had another one that just started joining us, so we haven't seen for about 30 years. So it's I'm sure that they'd like to be remembered to you. We have, of course, the title, The Solution, which, solution to what? So the first thing we have to get off the ground is the problem. And, of course, we all know what that is. Sin is the problem. And, you know, sometimes we get into our lives and we get into our little routines and we know there's problems around us and but, you know, we're doing all that we can to avoid them and to live in harmony and peace and quiet and safety and security. And we could actually get a little complacent. But once in a while we need to regroup and look at really what the results of sin is. Sickness, pain, sorrow, poverty, wars, recessions, depressions, and depression, blindness, injustice, disabilities, misunderstandings, calamities, disasters, natural and man-made, and countless other evidences of the curse that entered because of sin and the results of the death process and man's inhumanity to man. Every problem is on account of sin. Has there always been sin? When did it enter the world? What is its penalty? We all know these answers, I'm sure. Has man made any progress stopping to or slowing down sin in the last 6,000 plus years? Well, sure. We're more civilized now. we've learned from history, right? And our mistakes. We're solving all the problems. Mankind's making great progress. Every day things are getting better. We're having better lives than our parents. And we expect that our children are going to have better lives than we do. At least the world does. But we know that that's not quite accurate, is it? At the rate we're going, I personally feel sorry for the younger generation at this point. But at the same time, it's kind of a paradox that we have restitution starting. So there are things that are coming along that are just incredible blessings to mankind. So we have this restitution process starting. We have the knowledge increasing. We have man traveling to and fro. We have sweat of our brows and toil ceasing. But I would venture to say that today the world is more immortal than at any time in history. There's more deceit right now than there's ever been. There's the greatest selfishness that has ever been. And it's all increasing. It's not getting any better in those respects. It's getting much worse. So what is sin? And to what degree is the world in sin today compared to when Adam was banished from the garden? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. To a certain degree, this has really been true all the way down through the ages. So, you know, some might argue that, well, this isn't really anything new. You know, it's all always been to corrupt. But I think it's definitely different. You know, it's bad out there. It's a mess. Luke 21:26 foretold our day. He says, men's hearts failing them for fear for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the power of heaven shall be shaken. Do we see the powers of heaven being shaken? What's happening in the ecclesiastical worlds right now? They're closing down churches that are going bankrupt. They're getting sued in courts of law. It's crazy. I realize that these major troubles, or I realize that the major troubles of the plagues of Revelation, I relate these major troubles to the plagues of Revelation, the World War II, the Great Depression, World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, East versus West. These were and still are plagues. Whether you consider these specific seven, whether you relate these to the specific seven plagues of Revelations or not, all, I think, will agree that a plague is a terrible thing. And I think that anything more, I can't think of anything more terrible than these things to mankind. These were terrible things just in our last century. And I believe that the present economic and financial situation that's going on right now isn't just going to be a bump in the road. I hear reports that things are beginning to get better. We all hear it on the news. At least they say, you'll hear them say, well, it's less bad. It's not quite as bad as we expected it to be. I think we may be turning the corner. Has anybody been hearing that lately? But I think the recession is turning into a depression. And whatever you want to call it, I think it's just getting started. Any positives that you hear on the news, I think, are just direct attempts to try to build consumer confidence because they saw the other effect of telling people how bad things were, made them scared, pulled them into cocoons, made them stop hiring, stop spending money. So that wasn't good. Yeah, I'm no financial expert. I wish I would have taken economics in school and learned a little bit more about it because it's a fascinating subject. But I think we can all put some of the pieces together as we go through life and as we learn some of the lessons from what we pick up from various places, from the news and whatnot. But so I might be wrong on some of what I'm about to say, but I'm pretty convinced that the present stock market, of course, back in September, there was what we call a stock market crash. They said it was the worst since the Great Depression. I mean, the stock market basically went from almost 15,000 down to, what was it, 6,500, if anybody is into any of those kind of figures. So that's, two-thirds loss. But what happened starting in this year, about March, is there was a little rally. And that rally's still going. There's been some little ups and downs to it, but it's still kind of just barely, there were some really good spikes in it. And I don't follow the stock market, but I've seen a graph. And it's kind of interesting to note that I think that the result of this rally is a result of a lot of artificial stimulation of the stocks by mainly the federal government and by the stimulus packages that are going in there. So people take some faith in this stimulus package. It's working. But the Federal Reserve money, I think, is just propping up what's going on, and what they're doing is they're just basically minting money for the purpose. And this money is going into mainly the financials, the banks and the lending institutions and whatnot. Do you know that the Federal Reserve is not a government entity? It's a private entity and it's owned by the top 10 financial institutions in the world. These institutions with this institution, the Federal Reserve, you're usually thrown off by the word federal. You think, well, federal, that's federal government, right? Well, not quite. Well, what's their main function, the Federal Reserve? They control the money supply. That's where the presses are. That's what prints the dollar bills. And it's not the Treasury. You know, there is a function of the government called the U.S. Treasury. The U.S. Treasury has, of course, a big influence with the Federal Reserve. And it's kind of an interesting scenario of why that is. Or one of the reasons that is, if you were to dig into some of the cabinet members of the U.S. Treasury, guess what you'll find? You'll find some of their names on the board of directors of the Federal Reserve. Stimulus package? Yeah. It's working. It's working for somebody. I don't know if it's working for everybody that it's supposed to be working for. If you look at the what do they call it? When people study the stocks, they base it on can't think of the word, I'm sorry. But anyway, basically the stability of the companies and what the companies are making, their earnings and whatnot. But if you look at these companies, there aren't any earnings. Nobody's reporting earnings. The earnings are going down. And the other thing the stock market's based on is unemployment. Is unemployment going up? It's getting less worse. Last month, there was only 350,000 people that were unemployed. That's a lot better than 9 months before. There were 600,000 plus people a month being unemployed. So, the stock market's going up because it's getting better. Except for the financials, financial companies were originally reporting their worst losses, in their history. And then all of a sudden the next month, they're reporting their largest gains in history. Imagine that! It just happened to be at the same time the stimulus package was going into effect. So the rest of the whole stock market is pretty much follows the financial market. So those other stocks in the financial markets happen to be going up too because they're kind of following those financials. Like I said, I don't know anything about financials, but I've picked up a little bit about this. So how much longer do you think this rally is going to continue? Now, the experts say it'll continue until they stop pumping money into it. And the result, of course, pumping funny money into the economy has always resulted in inflation. So everything will either become worthless or it's going to become so expensive that nobody will be able to afford it. And the unemployment numbers are kind of an interesting thing, too. You know, they rig their statistics on what they consider those numbers. What they're reporting to you doesn't include the vast majority that are unemployed. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't seen exactly what they include in that, but they don't include people that have lost faith or lost, you know, given up looking for a job. They don't consider these people that are working might be able to get a part-time job or something that, you know, mow the lawn for the neighbor or something. So it's kind of scary out there. Yeah, Brother Russell expected a financial collapse to be the last major trouble before Armageddon. The Great Depression wasn't, you know, a lot of people say, well, maybe that was the Great Depression. But, you know, that wasn't really it, because we fairly recovered from that. But whatever you want to call these major events in the last 100 years or so, you know, World War II, the Great Depression, World War III, the Cold War, what we're going through now, they were all pretty much direct consequences of man's selfish actions at governing himself. The 20th century catastrophes that are even accelerated more now that we're in the 21st century cause inconceivable pain and suffering and loss of life, not to mention what they've done to this poor, fragile earth of ours. Even all the so-called experts around the world agree. If mankind doesn't kill himself off first through conflicts with each other, he's going to do it through polluting and wasting this earth's resources. Matthew 24:22. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. You know, we usually correct this scripture to say, by the elect, those days would be shortened. Because the elect, on the other side of the veil, will step in and keep mankind from completely destroying itself. But I think it's also already been cut short a few times. For the elect's sake. Because we needed more time to make ourselves ready. I think the vision of Habakkuk 2:3 is tarrying because the bride has not made herself ready. Problems? Does the world have problems? Even a child knows that things aren't how they should be. When I was a young boy, I wondered why, when things were bad, I was hurting and in anguish, adults would always pat you on the back, say, you know, it's okay, it's all right, it's going to be all better. And I always thought to myself, even as a young child, and I'm sure we all did, no, it's not. It's not going to be okay. You know, I knew a lot of problems were never going to get fixed. My retarded brother wasn't going to get better. I had a learning disability when I was young. I still do. I knew it probably would never get any easier for me. People weren't going to stop dying. We all just wanted the problems to go away. Okay. I'm done. Now that I've torn you down, let's build you back up. Let's take a look at the solution. Let's first talk a little about what people need to do. Not just in the kingdom. They need to do it right now. Today. Immediately. All the economists agree. Everybody. Common people. Governments. Religious organizations. Companies. Everybody. And especially the called of the Lord. We must stop consuming all the world's resources. We have to stop wasting. We have to recycle. We have to stop fighting. We have to stop spending money we don't have. We have to stop spending money on wars. We have to stop buying anything that you can't pay for. If you have a job, you need to stop complaining about it and start doing the best that you can at that job. If you have debt, you have to get it paid off. You have to start lending a hand. There's nowhere near enough volunteers in the world. We all have, or we are all commanded to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. And may I add, simplify, downgrade, and purge. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. The less you have, the easier the future is going to be. You don't want anybody breaking into your house to steal. If you don't have much, maybe the angry mobs won't bother you when the full-scale revolution breaks out. It's coming. And any of the called that haven't made themselves ready are going to have to be cleansed by it. Every little bit helps. There's nothing too small. Set an example. Tell and counsel those who will hear to seek ye the Lord. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be that ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah 2:3. I've gotten the impression by a few, not many, but I have actually heard this. Some brethren think that it doesn't matter. It's all ending anyway. Anything they do would just be a waste of time. The kingdom's going to fix it. Well, that may be true. The kingdom is going to fix it. We know that. Here's a quote from Volume 4, Study of the Scriptures. In the Scriptures, the Lord has evidently seen fit to associate the name of the famous Battle of Armageddon with the great controversy between truth and error, right and wrong, God and mammon, with which the gospel age will close and the messianic age will usher in. We are to be witnesses of Christ through the chaos and confusion swirling around us. We are ourselves epistles known and read of all men. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Comments by the pastor on this verse stress that while it is good that we preach the word, it is still more important that we live it. The lives of God's people should in every case be living epistles. Reprint 55 or 557 and 4391. And the more people do, And the more being done, the more it helps. And the easier it'll be during the collapse of this present evil world. I heartily encourage all to do as much as they can, whenever they can, to lessen the pain. Do with your might what your hand finds to do. We are buried with him. Are ye also risen with him through faith in the operation of God who has raised him from the dead? And you being dead to your sins, hath he quickened together with him? Ephesians 6:13, Colossians 2:12-13. The energy that we manifest on behalf of righteousness and truth on all subjects, on behalf of the service of the Lord, the brethren, and the world, when opportunity permits, is a manifestation of our quickening. We are the light of the world. True, what we ultimately need is a permanent solution. There's been a lot of very wonderful people that have been working very diligently throughout the ages on solutions. But the problems are always much more complicated than any solution that they can come up with. Proposed remedies, social and financial, study 10 of the Battle of Armageddon, is a real jewel. Highly recommend that I'll visit that chapter once in a while. Sometimes we'll look at volume 4 and we'll be intimidated by it because it's so big and there's a lot of stuff in there that we think needs to be updated, but there are some precious jewels in there. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Jeremiah 8:22. The attempts to find a cure and to apply it are surely commendable and have the appreciation of all kind-hearted people. Nevertheless, sober judgment, enlightened by God's word, tells us that none of the purposed or proposed remedies will cure the malady. Page 649 of Volume 4. What's it going to take? It's really not that complicated. The solution really only involves one thing. The removal of sin. This is one simple thing. Remove it, and you fix all the problems. And God provided that in the ransom. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in him shall have everlasting life. And God provided a means for the application of that merit through the restitution of all things. Acts 3:19-21. That's what our Lord Jesus wants us to remember and to focus all our attention on as we navigate this life. He wants us to remember that he gave himself a ransom for all. He wants us to know it is all going to be okay. It is going to be all better. Remember that he paid the price. Remember that he laid down his life. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Much more have they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Romans 5:12-17. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, earlier we listed some of the maladies. I'm sure I've left off some. Thankfully, I'm sure. Well, here's a list of some of the results mankind will realize by its removal. All wars will cease. Truth shall triumph in the earth. And you can meditate on each one of these and think about specifically how that will be manifest. And I highly encourage you to actually try to visualize that as much as you can in your daily lives. Because this will build up your hope. This will build up your belief and your endurance. And it will give you... Sorry, I lost the words again today. it'll give you results. It'll make by focusing on these, on our vision. That's what you work. That's what you will work toward, and that's what will become fulfilled. So you have to. That's where your mind and your thoughts have to go. Truth shall triumph in the earth. God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, not just us. The earth shall yield its increase. Just be able to go outside and pick something off the tree for lunch. The desert shall blossom as a rose. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The eyes of the blind shall be unstopped, both eyes of our understanding and physical eyes. No more glasses. Death shall be swallowed up in victory. No more funerals. God will wipe away all tears. Streams of water in the desert. Lowly exalted, proud made low. Crooked places made straight. Rough places plain. One shall not build and another inhabit. One shall not plant and another eat. No labor in vain. No more sorrow, no more pain, all evil suppressed, showers of blessing, God's law in everybody's heart, all iniquity forgiven, and recompense made for all wrongs, sins remembered no more, the whole earth like the Garden of Eden, justice and righteousness in all the earth. No more sickness. Lame shall leap, dumb shall sing, no hunger, no disease, no immorality, no scams, no ID theft, no theft of any kind, no mental illness, anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar, retardation. Quoting from volume 4, the last page. In that day the Lord shall be kind over all the earth. His kingdom shall have come. And his faithful have long prayed. And by the end of that day, he will, his will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. As truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of Jehovah. if faithful, we have a part in bringing all this about. Koinonia, participation, communion with our Lord and His body, His bride. Now, this is a great mystery to the world. I'm sure we've all heard. We are the members of the only true worldly secret society. I don't know who pinned that. Did Brother Russell pin that? We can shout it from the rooftops and nobody really would understand because they can't. You can't really understand that mystery of the body of Christ without being spirit begotten. So that's a wonderful evidence of your spirit begettal, is that you understand the mystery of the church. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Second Timothy 1:9-10. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The purpose of the church is to be a part of this great work that will resolve all the problems. The first work for accomplishing these blessings for mankind was to call, gather, and elect the church, the bride, who have oneness of purpose and oneness of will with the Father and the Messiah. I pray that they may be one, even as we are one. And this oneness can only be obtained in one way, by sacrificing the flesh and by a full surrender of our will, counting the world as loss and dross, as nothing, with all of its projects, a complete willingness to lay down our lives in the Father's service, no matter what the cost, by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, we can gain the strength and wisdom to be successful. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. He said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Luke 9:23. Do what he did. Lay down earthly life so we can join him in lifting mankind out of sin. Ye are called into this one hope of your calling. If ye suffer with me, ye shall also be glorified together, he said in Ephesians 4:4 and Romans 8:17. Now I liken the high calling to 144,000 job openings. You're looking through the want ads and you come across this want ad and wanted. 144,000. Just happens to be the most important jobs in all of man's history for an incredibly big project. In order to qualify, you have to go through a rigorous training program and pass all the tests. Did you read the job description before you accepted the offer to be an apprentice? It's the most enormous, hardest, dirtiest job you could possibly imagine. God arranged that somebody has to do it, though. And what better, you know, where would you select from to get these employees to do this project? Largest project in all of history. Well, if you select them directly from the people that it's affecting, you'll be able to get people that know and have experienced and can be sympathetic. This job has to do with, you know, sometimes it's hard to realize what this job is. But rejuvenation of the entire world, rehabilitation, restoration, is a big job. And of course, we're going to have spiritual bodies to do that job with, but it's still going to be a big job, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of training to be able to pull that off. And it's only, of course, through the help of our Lord that we'll be able to do that. But here's just a partial list of some of the benefits. This position comes with an incredible benefit package. And a lot of the benefits are paid up front. Get on the job training with the greatest journeyman of all times. We know the truth. We are set free. The liberty that comes with being sons of God. We have the answers to know how to find them and know how to find them. We aren't in the bondage of lies. We know the deep things of God. We understand the permission of evil. We have access to the Creator of the universe. Fellowship with those of like precious faith, His body. The hope of the kingdom before the world knows about it. Providential overrulings for our highest welfare. Guardian angels. Help in every time of need. All of our needs met. A light yoke. Direction from God Himself. A measure of the Holy Spirit. And wisdom from above. Exceeding great and precious promises. Just for the taking. And it doesn't stop with this. That's our present inheritance. It doesn't stop with that. How about our heavenly blessings? I kind of likened that to retirement, maybe. I don't know. But it's not really retirement in any sense of the word. Raised in the twinkling of an eye and given spiritual, divine bodies. Spiritual mansions, if you will. Your own thrones. Travel unhampered by time or space. Raising the dead back to life. Judges of angels and the world. Glory, honor, and immortality. See Him, Christ, as He is. That's the one I can't wait for. Not only will we be able to see God and our Lord, but we will dwell with the Father and with the Son in perfect and glorified bodies, and able to show forth His glory forever. This is an unimaginable benefit package. But you know what? this isn't our primary purpose for applying for the job. Rewards shouldn't be our primary motive. This inheritance should have nowhere near as much importance to us as something else. Our primary motive shouldn't even be the raising up and perfection of mankind. What you say? What could possibly be more important than restoring mankind to perfection and receiving of the divine nature? Here for the love of God go I. For the love of God and His Son. This should be our primary purpose in all of our affairs of our life. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This should be our highest motive. My Son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23:26. We need to refocus. We need to get our bearings from time to time as the hour of temptation bears down on us. And Satan buffets us. We need to know the what and the why, the purpose and the solution to all the problems. But we have our work cut out for us for the rest of our lives. The how, the lab work, the chiseling, the shaping, the obedience and overcoming, the loyalty and faithfulness, study and prayer. We are self-employed right now, and we have to be determined and disciplined and have perseverance and take a lot of initiatives and make a lot of adjustments and have fortitude and integrity and make sacrifices and perform services where and when needed. Use every talent and resource we have. Where's your heart, brethren? Matthew 6:19-21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us go forth from here, brethren, more determined to fight the good fight of faith, not as one that beateth the air. Run the race, dear brethren, as hard and as fast as you can. We are down to the wire. The door is closing. Nothing else matters. How well 'tis not how long we live within this veil, but how we live and meet the gale. And if we to our God and friends are true, our record rests in what we do. Our wealth retained to leave of importless than what within we do possess. And riches that are left, how valueless, than heavenly crowns on our success. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sorry, I went over.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It was really a fine talk. Truly, the finding the solution to any problem is knowing what the problem is. And pointed that out as being sin. And of course, simple answer to the solution is eradicating it. And, you know, we're so blessed to have the privilege to know what that solution is. And that is Jehovah's defined plan that He set into motion long, long ago. And it's so near now, it's culmination, the realization of the elimination of that sin. What a beautiful thought. And how blessed we are. Think about that, what Brother Jim said about, give me thine heart. Here we are with the opportunity in sin, know all of that, to give our God our heart. That's a blessed thing. Really, really a beautiful thought. Thank you so much, Jim. The closing song is going to be 213. And we'll ask Brother Jim to come and close with prayer. Release us for the break and also ask a blessing on the meal in case anybody would like to snack before the meal arrives. Okay? 213.
are so gracious that you have called us out of this dark world into thy marvelous light. We pray that we'll set our affections on things above and run the race before us, knowing that time is short and this poor groaning creation needs to be lifted up. Forgive anything said or done amiss. Help us to have our hearts and our minds set on thee and thy ways. We pray a blessing also upon our fellowship and the temporal nourishment. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we'll resume at 2 p.m.
Bye. Bye.